3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Chris Lowe set to join us in just a second here on the show. At 5:45, a new segment, I Call BS. And it could be anything, man. Anything in life that you've had enough of, you want to jump in line, we'll take calls. 615-737-1045.
Wait, you call the segment BS or?
Well, it may be.
I Call BS.
I Call BS.
Okay.
Never called that on Chris Lowe, who has called us. Did I see a picture of a beach? Where are you, man?
I'm actually at the, you're good, man. I'm actually at the South Carolina coast for a couple of days. Good time to be here. It's pretty nice, but it's not real crowded.
Mm. Is everybody looking into that notice of allegations against the basketball program?
I don't know. I of course, you know how it is when someone gets a notice of allegations. The school that gets it, it's never, they say it's never a big deal. People I've talked to at South Carolina aren't real concerned because nobody that was named in it is still here. Yeah. So we'll see. But I mean, if it deemed that they had ineligible players that played on that Final Four team, then I could see the banner potentially coming down, which is never a good thing.
Yeah. That's where we are with SEC basketball, man. NCAA is looking into everything.
And you know what? I was at a luncheon there at the Vol Tip-Off Club with Paul Feinbaum this week in Knoxville, and he made a good point. He said, you know, in the realm of college basketball, if you ever decided you wanted to cheat, this is probably the best time to do it.
There is, you know, no doubt. Right?
Think about it. He's right.
He is.
Wow.
You got all these schools that are under the microscope or being investigated. You got stuff on tape. And nothing's happened. I mean, nope.
I mean, Will Wade's still coaching games.
Yeah.
Strong A offers. Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny, Chris Lowe, our guest, national college football insider for ESPN, as we start this section talking about basketball. But it is funny. Remember, like, the words mushroom cloud were thrown around and all that? And the only person who was at that time doing something that's not anymore is Rick Pitino. Like, everybody else is business as usual.
I mean, it's just like nothing's ever happened. You know, it's almost like it's a bad dream, or whether it's a bad dream or just a dream. And here we sit. Everybody, as you said, Mickey, everybody's still coaching and people still playing. And I don't know how long it's going to take. You know, it's like the FBI went out and did all the legwork, or most of the legwork, and now here the NCAA is trying to decide what it's going to do.
So why is that? Is it simply because fans don't care? Like, people don't care?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you could really go back all the way back to the whole fiasco with North Carolina and the academic fraud. And you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, it's just like, well, does the NCAA really want to go after cash cows like Kansas, Arizona, North Carolina, a lot of these schools that are named? I don't know. But, again, I'm not picking on North Carolina, but you go back to that whole explanation, well, they didn't come down on North Carolina because these classes were quote unquote available to other students. But one of the sacred things that you're not supposed to do, according to the NCAA, is have any kind of hint of academic fraud. Well, that was sort of the height of academic fraud, and they got nada. Nothing. Yeah.
Chris Lowe, our guest. I know a lot of people are watching this Colorado opening because it's the opening that's out there now, and so people like following that kind of thing. I wondered if Darren Chavarini, who played there then played in the NFL, was the assistant head coach or associate. I don't remember which title he had, worked with wide receivers. He's been named the interim, and all I could think of was this, Chris. Obviously, you try to work something out with Eric Bieniemy, but it sure feels like he'll be number one on a bunch of NFL lists. I ultimately thought Darren would end up with the job. He's at least the interim guy right now.
Yeah, and I can think of one other interim coach that was interim for a while and ended up being promoted to head coach, and it worked out pretty well for them down on the Bayou. Mr. Ed Ogeron and LSU. So yep. I'm not predicting if that goes down that Colorado's going to win the national championship, but we are seeing more of those situations where coaches who maybe haven't been, you know, out and coaching at other high-profile places, or either in some cases have been coordinators, who've gone on to have a lot of success. Of course, the two most obvious examples are the one I just mentioned, Ed Ogeron at LSU, and then Dabo Sweeney at Clemson.
Yeah.
Guys that weren't even coordinators. But with the right fit at the right time. So it'll be interesting to see. I think the enemy is the guy there. If you know, if he decides he wants it, why not? I mean, he's, for whatever reason, he hasn't gotten a shot yet in the NFL, but he is a guy that I think if you talk to a lot of people, Colorado fans would love to see him back there heading up that program.
Let me ask you a question. Derek Mason involved in the process last year. Butch Jones 7 years ago, I think, was going to take the job until Tennessee called. What about those two guys?
Well, and if it doesn't work out, if it's not Bienemy and they decide they want to go outside, then I would think both of those guys would be on the list. Maybe a guy like Jim McElwain, you know, who's coached out west before and has some success at Colorado State. You know, he's from, you know, a Montana guy from Eastern Washington. Obviously didn't end for him the way he wanted it to at Florida, but he did a great job at Central Michigan last year. But those are some names that I think would be on their list for sure. You know, Derek, I think Derek, we've talked about it ad nauseum, has a really tough job, one of the toughest jobs in college football. And so many times it's fit, you know, him from being out from, you know, that part of the country, going to school out in that part of the country, I think would certainly be a fit. It would probably be a tough sell to the Colorado fans because of what their record has not been the last couple of years, but that doesn't mean that Derek Mason is not a good football coach. It would not do a good job out there.
Chris Lowe, our guest at CLOE ESPN. On the way out, we had Greg Sankey on yesterday, and when Malcolm Turner left Vanderbilt and Candace Story Lee took over, by the way, we had her on today, and she was fantastic. But several Vandy fans tweeted, and just football fans in general, college football, college athletic fans, and said, at some point, can the commissioner just get involved and say, you have to spend money on this or that? So we asked him, just point blank, and he essentially stopped the question and said, no, we don't tell anybody what to do with their money.
No, nor does he tell, you know, a school who they need to hire. Now, you can set parameters and you can set the tone. Mike Schlob was great at that. Nobody was better in all my years of covering sports than Mike Schlob at being assertive but yet not being loud and making it known what he wanted and what he wanted to be about. You know, he told me one time, for instance, that the most important thing on his watch was not the fact that the SEC won 7 straight national championships in football. It was the fact that during his tenure, that the first black head football coach, Sylvester Croom, was hired to the SEC. And he made that known, that he wanted to see that barrier crossed. So I think, you know, whether it's, you know, not necessarily telling somebody who they need to hire or what they need to do, but I think you can set a tone for what your expectations are across the board, both in competitive, being diverse, that type of thing. So I think absolutely a commissioner can do that.
So was that event you mentioned with Paul Feinbaum the same one where he said Tennessee at some point next year will be ranked number one in basketball?
I can't remember if he said that. I was there with him. I know he's very high on the future of the program, and Rick Barnes, he goes all the way back to Alabama when Rick was an assistant there under Whip Sanderson, you know, when Paul was in that state. But I mean, if you look at the class that he's bringing in and some of the way some of the younger guys are, I think, going to start to come on, I think they got a chance to be really good this year. But I know Paul was, as you might imagine, pretty entertaining being back on campus of his alma mater. I told him there before the thing, I said, Paul, you're the only person I know that at some point during your time, you have been the biggest hater of every fan base in the SEC and the biggest homer of every fan base in the SEC.
Chris, that's happy it. Valentine's Day to you and the missus. Enjoy that view that you tweeted out earlier.
Well, same to you guys. It's good to be with you.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Yes, sir.